traveled this Lenten season, starting with Ash Wednesday, all the way into Holy Week, discussing the words of Jesus on the cross. While our Savior was taking the sins of the world, our sins, he was thinking about us all the time. He was doing it for the people he loved. The first words out of his mouth while he was hanging in agony were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We are still like those people today. We are still like Peter, continually denying our Creator, our Savior. And Jesus still has the same words for us. Forgive them. We have to have that same compassion for people who do not know Jesus. It is part of the gospel message to go and tell. Let the Holy Spirit do the work of the Holy Spirit. And continue to have compassion on those who need your compassion. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I wouldn't get mad at a blind person that stepped on my foot. And why do we constantly get mad and upset at people that don't know Jesus? Just simply tell them about what you've heard tonight and what you will hear on Sunday. His second words had to do with salvation. Even a thief on the cross, even someone deserving of death by the Romans, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The message of salvation. The third message was about relationships. We live in a world where relationships are broken over words and over actions. He said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple he loved, "Here is your mother. Take care of each other." We need to hear that. Especially in this age when people want us not to refer to God the Father because they had a broken relationship with their father. When people don't want us to uphold the sanctity of holy matrimony because they have been a part of or witnessed marriages breaking apart left and right. We are not the model. Things break apart because of what we as humans bring to the table. But the model is Christ in the church, who will never let his people go. Jesus' next words had to do with abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? As the sins of the world were laid upon him, certainly the traditional view, I introduced another view that it may have been a word of encouragement and hope that he was hanging on to. As if you read the entire psalm, the 22nd, as we read last night, there is words of hope. Even though this is happening, I still trust. I still believe. And if you didn't notice last evening, as we sang, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," we ended with the 23rd psalm. Comes right after those messages, that word of hope. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherds do not leave and abandon sheep. They can have all 99 and one missing, they will find that sheep. They will search. If one of your children, if one of your grandchildren was missing, you would not stop seeking him. And Christ is that much more interested in bringing us into the fold. He never stops. Even for those who do not believe, he seeks them out. As his body began to break down in sheer distress, he cried out, "I thirst." This was not only God hanging on the cross, but it was man, the Son of Man. And his body breaks down just as our bodies break down. He knows our pain. He knows our weakness. There is nothing that we go through that he does not understand and comprehend, because he's been there, yet without sin. Go to him. Don't run away. We have no idea how excruciating, and I use that term because it comes from the word crucifixion, excruciating death on a cross is. We live in an age where a hangnail can possibly keep us from getting up and going to work. He did this knowing what was going to happen. He prayed to God the Father and said, "If it be your will, let this cup pass. So be it, but if you want me to continue and drink this cup of wrath, then not my will but yours." A lesson for all of us. We don't always like what's in store for us. But we go there knowing that the Father has it with intent for doing us or people around us something so much greater. Last evening we heard, "It is finished, Telestai. I have completed it all. There is nothing more to do." And when people or the radio or the newspapers or books tell you, "You've got to be good. You've got to give more. You've got to. You can tell them to Telestai. It is finished. There's nothing I can add to it. I can't pretty it up. The cross is the cross, as gory as it is, and it's there because my Savior completed what he set out to do." The picture on the cover of the bulletin tonight says it all. From the beginning of Genesis, when the serpent intervened and tempted Adam and Eve, the serpent was cursed. "All the days of your life, your belly will crawl on the ground, the dust of the earth." And he talks about the seed of the woman. The serpent will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. And that spike goes through the foot and right through the serpent's head. It is finished. The devil has no power over you or anyone else. He can tempt. He can whisper. But with your faith in Christ, he is defeated. And then lastly, we come to this evening. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Very interesting. I don't know how many of you did this as a child growing up. Maybe still do it today. But when you went to bed at night and your parents came up and tucked you in, you remember saying, "As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Into thy hands I commit my spirit." It is the Jewish prayer that every child said before they went to bed at night. In their parents' arms, as they prepared for slumber, that's why the picture on the back of the bulletin was there. But I hear, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The Father is there. He did not abandon him. Is it possible that Jesus was recalling that prayer that they recited every single night? Is it possible? Or is it possible that he was reciting once again and bringing to mind a psalm? Also, very possible. I'd like to read you this psalm. For if it was this psalm that Jesus was referring to specifically, which is where the Jewish prayer came from, then there's more to it. There's more of a story than simply reciting a simple word. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that has been set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. My trust is in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but you set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress, and my eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors, a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many, and there is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced. For with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to God. For he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry. When I called, you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. What a wonderful song that our Savior spoke upon his lips, that even in his hour of need, he knew who to run to and where his trust would remain. Why is today called Good Friday? I'll sum it up with something I read this morning and wanted to pass along to all of you. If you were sentenced to death and Jesus volunteered to take your place, How would you feel? Good. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, even as you once entrusted your Spirit into the hands of the Father, so I give my life to you. I trust you and you alone to be my Savior. I submit to your sovereignty over my life and seek to live for your glory alone. Here I am, Lord, available to you both now and into the future. How good it is to know, dear Lord, that the cross was not an end for you, as you entrusted your Spirit into the Father's hands. You did so in anticipation of what was to come. So we reflect upon your death, not in despair, but in hope. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God, the Almighty Father, would guide it and gather it together so that we may worship Him in peace and tranquility. When I say, we ask this through Christ our Lord, would you please respond, Amen. Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, guide the church and gather it throughout the world. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your name, and bring the good news of salvation in Christ to all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all the ministers of the Word, for all the vocations in the church, and all the people of God. Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold pastors within your church, as well as all lay leaders who together proclaim your name. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church, and help each of us in our various vocations to do faithfully the work which you have called us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who share the faith in Jesus, that God may gather and keep together in one church all who know Christ as Lord. Almighty and eternal God, you gave your church its unity. Look with favor on all those who follow Jesus, your Son, and make all the baptized one in the fullness of faith, and keep us united in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us also pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way of salvation. Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your people, to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of your Godhead, and so to become more perfect witnesses of your love in the sight of all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray that God keeps us in his care and fulfills his will for all things. Almighty and eternal God, you are the creator of a magnificent universe. Hold all the world in the arms of your care and bring all things to the fulfillment in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And finally, let us pray for all those things which the Lord would have us to ask in the words that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.